Good morning, flock. You are the sheep. We are all God's sheep. And today we are going to be talking, that was our scripture reading from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And it happened at a time when Jesus was asking that question, do you love me? Do you love me? We may have been asked that question, or maybe we have asked others that question. Sometimes we ask it of our significant others, do you love me? Sometimes we ask it of our children. And when our children ask us, mommy, do you love me? It's probably after they've done something they shouldn't have done, right? Well, my husband Bill and I love to play a game with our dog Lizzie. And it's a competition of sorts because we'll go, Lizzie, do you love mommy? And he'll go, Lizzie, do you love daddy? And we get her attention and we vie for that attention and her ears perk up and her little tail starts to wag. And we get that assurance that yes, she truly loves us. Now I had the question, who does she love more after the first service? And I'm not going to answer that question because of course, it's an equal draw. But we often ask that question of God. God, do you love me? And that answer is always a solid, resounding yes. Yes, God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus, for our Savior. We celebrated that great love this morning. But when Peter was with Jesus, there was a specific reason why he was asked these questions three times. On the same night in which we celebrate communion, when Jesus was with the disciples in the upper room, they went, after they'd had the meal, they went and Jesus was continuing to share and to talk and to communicate with them and to tell them what was about to happen. And he speaks with Peter. And Peter said, and he says to Peter, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you are going to deny me. And Jesus was adamant, or Peter was adamant, no, I would never deny you, Lord. And then early the next morning, Peter hears the rooster crow, and he realizes that three times during the night he denied ever knowing Jesus. So now they are on the beach after Jesus' crucifixion, and after he rose from the dead, he's again with his disciples at the beach. They're having a meal together. And again, he speaks with his disciples to tell them what is coming up next. And he pulls Peter aside, and he asks him these three questions. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. And he asks him three times to reinstate him, to wipe away the sin that he had committed in denying him. But it wasn't just about reinstating Peter. It was also giving him a commission, giving him a charge, giving him a call. Because it wasn't just, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Then do something. The first time he said, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Tend and take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. This was Peter's commissioning. This was the beginning of the church because he had said Peter was the rock upon which he was going to build the church, and this is how the church was going to be built, by feeding and taking care of the sheep. It was Peter's call. It was Peter's commission. But it is also our commission. You see, Peter's now gone from fisherman to shepherd. And it's not a catch and release. He goes fishing, and now he's got all these fish that become sheep to take care of. Back in 2021, we sat with the church leadership. And this was the scripture that led us to discern and refocus our attention and our vision and our mission. It is to fish for God's people, bring them in, feed them, take care of them. That is what PHUMC has been called to do. Our mission is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And our core values were based upon this scripture. And you will hear more about that in our identity series, which the preaching series starts next week, as well as the small group series. And I encourage you to take part in one of those small groups so that you learn more about our calling, our commissioning as a church. Because when we are focused on mission together, we do more for God's kingdom. So Jesus says, "Do you love me?" He asks you that question today. Do you love him? And if so, what are you ready to do? Jesus gives us this command to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep, to feed the lambs. But he also gave other commandments throughout his ministry. That same night in John 13, verses 34 and 35, he's talking with the disciples and he gives them a new commandment. He says, "A new commandment I give you, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples." This is also a command, a commissioning for the body of Christ. How we love one another is a representation of how we love God. It is from that love of God and our relationship with him that we have the ability to love as God loves. Jesus said, "Love as I love you." Jesus gave his life for his sheep. And love is our best witness to a world that is so filled with division, anger, violence, hatred, judgment, criticism. Love is what is going to heal. Just this week, at a local high school, there was another tragic act of anger and violence as one student stabbed two other students. As far as I know, they are both going to be okay. But this is happening all over the world, and it happened in our own backyard. Imagine, and this breaks my heart when I think about a high school student who has that much anger, that much hurt, that much woundedness within them. Imagine what it would be like if they had experienced the love that God provides through his people. How that might have changed the situation. So we are called to live a life of love, loving God and loving others. Jesus commanded us again in Matthew 22. Verse 37 through 39, when he was asked, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. But the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So that ties our relationship with loving God in with our ability to love others. It is from our Heavenly Father. We get filled with that love. We must have that relationship and build it so that we fill to overflowing, so that we have the ability to love our neighbor. This love of neighbor is a Wesleyan tradition, and it always grows out of our relationship with God. We cannot give what we do not receive from God. We must have that right relationship. And if you were here last week or watching online, you heard me talk about the kingdom of God and how that starts right here in the heart. As we have Christ in our heart, as we work on our relationship with God, we will be filled with the love upon which God's kingdom is built. And we will be able to love as he commands us to do. Jesus was asked, "So who is my neighbor?" We are all neighbors. Anyone who is in need of help is a neighbor. And we are all bound together because we are all created in God's image. And so through that, we are all connected and neighbors. So because we have that connection, God's already made us neighbors, and we can expand our love down the street to our neighbors, or we can expand it across the world. Now, one way that we are able to show this love of God is through the gift of compassion. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit, compassion and mercy. The word compassion, the com, means with, and passion means to suffer. So it literally means to suffer with, to walk alongside with someone who is suffering. That's compassion. And we have a compassionate God. And he is walking alongside you, whatever it is that you are going through. But sometimes we don't feel his presence. So how does God show this compassion? He shows it through us. We are called to a ministry of compassion. We embody his compassion as we walk and care and encourage and support one another. We have a ministry here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church that has been working in the ministry of compassion for 15 years. The Courageous Sisters was established in 2008 as a ministry for women experiencing cancer or who have survived cancer. It was established by Yvonne White and Beryl Mitchell, but Yvonne has been the heart and soul of this ministry. And she and her ladies have cared for women, more than 50 women, in these 15 years. Their mission is to provide compassionate Christian encouragement, support, and love to women who are experiencing the trials and the challenges of cancer. They meet on a regular basis to pray, to discuss concerns, and to listen in love. I am very thankful to this ministry, and I ask the women who've been involved in it to share their testimonies of their experience of this kind of tending the sheep. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, I did not want to talk about it with anyone. I stuck my head in the sand and I wished it away. I chose to ignore the fear of the unknown, but cancer could not be ignored. I did not understand at the time that I was on a journey and it had taken my life in a new direction. I began to understand that journey after joining the Courageous Sisters. I finally felt comfortable talking about my cancer with other women who had started their own cancer journey before I had. I never would have guessed that I would feel blessed and at peace with my diagnosis and that my new direction until after meeting this group of women. With their support and prayers, I have faced my fears and moved forward in my journey. I was invited to Courageous Sisters at a time when most of my hope was lost. At that very first meeting, I found love, support, caring, and most of all, hope. God blessed me with a wonderful praying group of women where I felt comfort and peace no matter the outcome of my journey. Another one says, when I was diagnosed with cancer, the sisters provided me with support from a group of caring women who had already experienced their own cancer journey, so they knew and understood my fears and emotions. I am blessed to be a survivor and can now share my experience and offer love and caring to other women. I feel our entire group of courageous women is God-inspired and God-blessed. You have cancer. My mind and soul felt disconnected from my body as I took in all the information from the doctors, nurses, and pamphlets that they gave me. How could this happen? I was a healthy person. I don't remember what angel guided me to the Courageous Sisters, but all the eyes were focused on me at that very first meeting. And sharing experiences, offering sound advice and prayers were with me always. Thank you, PHUMC, for bringing us together and providing a chapel filled with God's love. Friends, this is just one example, well, many testimonies, but one example of a ministry that is living out tending the sheep. What is our role? What is your role in answering this question from Jesus? Do you love me? Feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, feed the sheep. Now, the feeding you're going to hear a lot more about in the weeks to come in the identity series. But today, I am focusing on taking care of the sheep. This is my heart. This is my passion. Since joining the staff at Palm Harbor back in 2007, this has been one of my responsibilities, is congregational care. And as some of you know, I am shifting those responsibilities so that I can do more of this through the counseling ministry. But congregational care still remains my main responsibility here at the church, taking care of those who are hurting is my call. And what I have said from the very beginning is that congregational care is everybody's responsibility. So I want to take another look at our scripture this morning from John 21, verse 16. And here, Jesus is saying a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then tend my sheep. To tend means to care for, to pay attention to serve, to love. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this church is how you care for one another. I'm always getting emails, phone calls, people stop me saying, did you know this person was in the hospital? Did you know they're having surgery? We took some meals over because this person lost a loved one. Small groups I've watched rally around their members who are going through a hard time, loving on each other. You all make phone calls, you send cards. This is what it is about. This is what it means to be part of a community, part of a church family. We are there for one another, walking through with compassion as each other suffers and with each other's triumphs and joys. This is why it's important to be part of a church. Now, we do have a ministry called the Care Ministry Team. There are several volunteers who help Pastor Keith and I because we cannot be at every place that needs us all the time. These are trained ministers who help follow up with phone calls, visits, or maybe just somebody to sit down and talk one-on-one with. If you feel like you have the gift of compassion and want to join this care team, I invite you to let me know in the lobby today or send me an email or a phone call. I'll be starting a new training class in just a couple of weeks. But having this ministry doesn't let the rest of you off the hook. We are all called to live a life of love. Jesus asks us all, do you love me? Whether it is in your family, whether it is in your workplace, your neighborhood, all are created in God's image. So how can you tend those who God brings into your fold this week? How will you respond when Jesus asks you, do you love me? Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you fill us to overflowing with love and compassion. And that God, you will use us to walk alongside those who are hurting, to show love to a world that is so broken. And that God, it just starts right here in our own family, in our own community. And you will lead us where you need us to go. Fill us, Lord. Let us respond with a resounding, yes, God, we love you. Where do we need to feed? Where do we need to care? lead us, Lord. Be our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray.